Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Darren and Lito will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehapa podcast. I'm your host, Darren Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I'm wonderful. I am coming to you live from Northern Michigan, which is always wonderful and relaxing and about as easy and peaceful as the stage two.
I would imagine so. I would imagine most things are.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about season 11, episode 15 of American Ninja Warrior. It was stage two, and this was an interesting stage two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lovely picnic for the ninjas.
Yeah. Remember that time I said I was really pleased with stage one because I was worried that the course would just be stupid easy, and that's why we were going to have a lot of success this season?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, me too.
TBT to when we were pleased with the course.
Yeah. This was an episode. I saw a lot of complaints about this episode pretty much everywhere I looked.
Yeah, I mean, the one positive is that we have not narrowed the field for the winner at all. Could still be anyone that we were previously discussing.
Well, unless you feel like they would montage people, I feel like there are some people that would be a little bit out of contention.
Yeah, maybe. But I just mean, like, literally every person that we were considering as being a winner made it to stage three.
Yeah, so that's true.
At least we're not spoiled.
Mm. Well, let's talk about this course. So the first obstacle we had was the giant walk the plank, which, you know, it was basically walk the plank, but giant. I preferred this change. I like that it's faster than the previous versions of the first obstacle on stage two. But, you know, not particularly difficult. But I don't want the first obstacle to be particularly difficult.
Yeah, we want the second to last obstacle to be particularly difficult.
Then you had the extension ladder. That was what they called the salmon ladder here, which did not feel more difficult at all. It felt easier.
Isn't it usually like the super salmon ladder where they go like up one side and down the other?
They've done like the up down. They've done like the back and forth and back again. But this was just kind of like, the gaps get a little taller. But most people skip rungs anyway.
Right. And you have to only like make one transition.
Yeah. It's like, I think it was only like, I mean, really, I think it was like four or five moves tops.
Yeah.
So they get through that. And then they get little footholds at the end of the salmon ladder, which previously they've had to do a more difficult salmon ladder followed by an immediate like wave runner or something like that, mm-hmm. like straight from the salmon ladder to really test that grip strength. But they get to rest there in the footholds mm-hmm. with their lots of time.
Right.
And then take on the snap back, which is the obstacle where you you jump forward and then the little thing that you're on will snap and you have to do a reverse grab, get through that. There's two of them. Then you get to a swing surfer, and on a swing surfer this time, this is obviously the big pendulum one where you jump onto it and then you jump off. And instead of grabbing onto a rope, you grab onto a wall. I actually like
that has. But it has four different holes.
Yes, I liked this change, though, because the rope, I like it visually, it's better for me. It's a taller wall. They have to climb up it. And jumping onto a wall is just like more fun to watch for me than like watching them grab onto a rope. So I liked that. There were some changes I liked here. Then we get to the Grim Sweeper, which is
great name.
Replacing the Wing Nuts. And the Grim Sweeper has to be the easiest obstacle in the entire course of all the courses.
Yeah, Oh, definitely. They start with the kids specifically to make it seem hard before every other person does it.
And I, if I'm not mistaken, the kid is the only person to fail on the Grim Sweeper, and then he does it again and easily does it.
Right.
So yeah. I don't believe anybody was eliminated by the Grim Sweeper at all.
Right, which is like when you think about it, we were there the first year of the Wingnuts, and it was just literally like the all of stage two was basically like, okay, it's impressive if you get there, and then like, will anybody finish the Wingnuts?
Yeah, the Wingnuts, I think, had a completion rate of something like 10, like less than 10% throughout its 2 year run on stage two. And yeah, the Grim Sweeper now has a completion rate of basically 100%.
Yeah.
So pretty drastic change.
Yeah, it's a great name because they look like scythes.
Yes.
That's the name. But
they rotate.
Yeah, but each one is lower than the next one.
Yes.
So all you have to do is let go and grab the next one.
Right. And the holds are very grippy. It's like a big lip to grab onto. And you can also just hang on for as long as you want to get used to this, the spin and the rotation. And then
because you have so much time on this course.
Yeah. Spin your wheels was a much more difficult obstacle than the Grim Sweeper.
Definitely.
So then you get to the water walls, which I don't believe have changed significantly in any way. You just have to get through the walls, but underwater. And then that's it. You've got 3 minutes to complete them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody gets to the last two obstacles with like more than a minute and a half left.
Yeah. So I had an issue with stage two when they initially changed it to be a more difficult course with a ton of time limit tacked on. Stage two to me was always the speed stage. This was about speed. And I know that stage one is a little bit like that, but not really. Stage one is about like, it's a huge course and you're running through it. And, there are a bunch of different, like, you know, there's a balance obstacles. It's over an overall sort of thing. It's a classic stage. It's supposed to narrow down the field until you get to stage two, when it really tests your speed. And it's not like crazy difficult, but you got to go through it fast. And there are lots of, like choke points where you have to fully commit. And then, you know, try to survive and get through, and then run through those walls at the end. You gotta finish. And they moved away from that, which I was upset with. But so instead what they did was they were said, okay, stage two is basically a mini stage three, but with a time limit that's really long. And I was like, okay, that's what it is. It's a mini stage three, but with a time limit that's really long. Except now they've said, okay, scratch that. Stage two is like a city qualifying course with a really long time limit.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly right. I mean, I think just speaking to what you were saying, like, for me, I want stage one to really be like endurance. Like, can you get through all of this and still have enough gas? Stage two, I want to be speed. And then stage three, I want to be like skill and really separating like the super upper body strength people and grip strength people from the rest. And this is, like you said, literally just a city qualifying course. The time limit played pretty much no factor except for like
people that were injured or had food poisoning.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Unless you were actually ailing, it didn't matter.
Yeah. I think that if they like, and here's the thing, I think the course is fine. I think that the problem is that the course previously was way more difficult, and I didn't like that. I like this course better than the one with the Wingnuts. It's the time limit that's the problem for me. They need to have cut this time limit down by at least 30 seconds, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Probably closer to something around 45 seconds.
45 seconds, yeah.
And really what they should do is change the water walls back to the original walls and cut the time limit down by like a minute and a half.
Yeah, the water walls are so not fun to watch. Yeah. Like, you can't really tell how close they are. It's kind of too dependent on, like, if you're really tiny, then if you're, like, really thin, then you don't have to do it as much. Like, it's, there's just too much that is, like, not fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't love it. I mean, I think the only benefit you get from it is that you at the end of it, you've got these big glistening men who are now all wet. So... Maybe that's what they're going for.
It's supposed to be my job to point that out. But you got it. You nailed it.
Yeah. But I would love to see the original walls come back, chop this time limit down by at least like a minute and a half.
And then when you hit the buzzer, a bucket of water falls over your head.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would be just a lot better. If you cut the time limit, this time limit by 30 seconds, then you eliminate about 10 of the, you cut the finishers in half. And I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
If you cut it by like 45 seconds, then you have about 5 finishers. But I have to imagine that a lot of these, 6, 7, 8, 9 people would have gone a lot faster, right, if they knew that their time was shorter. So I think we would have had, if you cut the time limit by like 45 seconds, I think we would have had the perfect amount of finishers, which is something around, 8-ish. I think that season 7 had 8 finishers. That was the most ever. I think that's about right. In my opinion, you should be cutting the athletes by 1/4 each time. There should be around 25 stage 1 finishers, and then something around like 6 to 8 stage 2 finishers, and then see where you go from there.
Yes, but disclaimer, please do not cut athletes into 1/4.
I mean... Has anyone tried it yet?
So then they would get 4 chances at the course.
Maybe that's how it would work, I think.
Yeah. I just feel bad for all these people that booked their trip to Vegas for 2 nights. And then this is definitely going to go to a 3rd night.
That's what we have. I'm sure we'll continue to talk about this as we go on. But it really... I think that, the show, it's built on its history, I think, more than most shows. And this really undermines what it means to complete stage 2, in my opinion, that they really screwed this up.
Yeah, except it's not even like it was intentional.
I think it was intentional to a degree. Yeah, it feels like they made it easier. I don't know if they thought that they'd get over 20 finishers, but they definitely intentionally made this an easier course. And I have to imagine that part of them was hoping, all right, well, maybe if we get a Jesse or two on this course, that maybe we'll be able to see one in stage 3.
A Jesse or two. Yeah, maybe. But it did feel like they wanted this because they were promoting, like, last year we had like a 12% finish rate on this point. This time we have a 53% or whatever. And it's like, are you trying to convince us that the ninjas are getting better?
That's
because all it looks like is that your course is easier.
Yeah, they straight up said the ninjas are getting better. But I don't know. To me, that felt like it could just be them like, oh, this is what
trying to be like, oh, this was on purpose.
Yeah, this is what we've got. So we might as well try and make it seem like it wasn't a big screw up, but who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
We'll see.
All right. So we started with Dan Palizzi, who is, they have a tough time starting this episode because there are only 7 people that fall.
Yeah.
I guess if you count the safety passers, you get a couple more falls. So, when there's only around 7 failures in an episode, it's going to be real hard.
Yeah, and they're doing montages that are entirely finishers.
Mm-hmm. So we started with Dan Palizzi. He goes on to walk the plank. I like that walk the plank is the first obstacle. It's faster. I like faster, especially on stage 2. Then he went on to the salmon ladder, gets to the snapback and misses the grab. He just whiffs it. And I really feel for any athlete that just accidentally screws up on stage 2 because you're really kicking yourself for your chance to get to stage 3.
Yeah, because this is going to be the year. Mm-hmm. So especially because, like, yeah, all these people that make mistakes have safety passes. So it sucks for, like, the couple of people that don't.
Yeah. Then right away, we've got the kid, Matisse the Kid Awadi. And I was like, oh, he's this. Oh, right. He has a safety pass. Okay, so he fails this one. Right,
yeah. Yep.
I will say this, though. Finally, they changed it up a little bit. They gave us mm-hmm. something that was more than just like, it's the kid. He's the kid. And he's a kid. And he does kid things.
And he wears a hat.
And he has hats. And he's cool. And everyone loves him. And he's the best. It was like, we're actually learning who he is. And now I feel a lot better about him as an athlete watching him. Just finally, they're giving him something more than just like shoving down our throat.
I don't know. Dare I say when is that it?
Very possible. He talks about how he's had panic attacks in the off season. That it's. I mean, he's. I would probably fault the edit of the show that probably contributes to this being so young and being pushed as like. Here is the up and coming, one of the best, like he's got to do this. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody's shoulders.
A 19-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now 20, but when he was starting. Yeah, that is this is a hugely watched show, you know, and like before this, I'm sure that there were when the age limit was 21, I'm sure that like a lot of these people's intro to Ninja was like regional contests that allowed like 18, 19 year olds or something, but he went straight to one of the most watched reality shows in the country.
Mm-hmm. And he had, you know, annoying people like us who didn't like him very much because of the edit he was getting, right? Like,
yeah, because we don't know anything about him and because it's not satisfying for a 19 year old that we don't know anything about to win.
Exactly. And so I can imagine what kind of weight that puts on your shoulders for somebody, especially that young. And I was not happy to see that, that he is affected in this way, but, right. It definitely endeared me a lot more to him to see more of who he is and how he's handling everything.
See, this is why we need to get him either on this show or on the Taran show. That would be a good get. Let him tell his story.
Yes.
Turn people like us around.
Yes. So he takes on the course here and you know, he's not finishing.
Yeah.
Because he's second in the lineup here and he's got a safety pass. So, he's very fast through walk the plank though, clean through snapback, and gets to the Grim Sweeper. He tries to like one hand it. So he tries to keep one hand on the higher one and then drop his other hand to the lower one instead of making more of like a hop. And we see some other people do this as well, but he has, I think, a little bit too much hesitation and leaves his top hand on the upper Grim Sweeper blade for too long. And he's ultimately going to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But really no doubt in our minds.
Yeah. And
by partway through this episode that he's going to do fine.
Yes. And this is when I realized there was no Wingnuts. And I was like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's been montaged a lot. Maybe Kevin Carbone really pissed off production. Mm. They pulled his obstacle.
Next up was Carson Voiles, who was another safety passer. He's wearing it on his shoulder, but he has a big miss on the snapback, and he's going to have to rip off the safety pass.
Yes, I like that they frame it as he's going to play that safety pass as if this is a strategic game that you can choose when to play your safety pass.
Oh, smart decision by Carson to play the safety pass here.
Yeah, like what's he going to do? Save it for next season?
Next up was Nate Burkhalter, who has been sicker than a dog, apparently.
And the big dog ninja says, hey.
Right. Which made me wonder, like, where does that phrase even come from?
That's not even the phrase. It's sick as a dog.
Yeah, I know. But like.
But he's so sick that he's sicker than a dog.
Sicker than a dog.
Yeah. Are you Googling sick as a dog?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where it comes from, but food poisoning is bad. Have you ever had food poisoning?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, clearly it left a huge impact on you.
It wasn't like a bad one. I've just been like a bit affected. Not like Nate Burkhalter.
Yeah, I've never been that sick, but I've gotten it a couple of times, and it is no joke, especially when it comes to dehydration.
Okay, so apparently it was common to compare undesirable things to dogs in the early 1700s.
That makes sense.
It's not that people didn't like dogs. It was that diseases such as the plague were often spread via animals like rats, birds, and unfortunately, dogs.
Yeah, that makes sense because they were spread by fleas and mosquitoes.
So,
I mean, we still call people that we don't like dogs.
That's
like
true.
Men,
yeah.
Which is very unfair to dogs because dogs are great. Anyway, no limits. Nate had some limits for a little while.
Yes, he had food poisoning and also talked about how he broke his foot testing stage two last year, broke something in his foot. I don't know what it is. And he had to have 6 months of rehab. And that's when I went, oh, that's probably why they changed the thing to the wall. Because he broke it on the rope of Swing Surfer and he, like, slammed his foot into the thing. And I was like, well, the wall's probably safer.
Yeah, although if American Ninja Warrior actually cared about that, then they would have changed a lot of obstacles by now.
It's true.
Especially the ones where people split their heads open.
It's true. So he's been getting IVs, and Akbar says dehydration is the biggest issue because it could cause some muscle cramping, he says.
Yeah, and also other things like death.
Mm. So you can tell he's already like wiped out by the time he's on Snapback. And I also was able to notice during this run that they're just, when we went to the course, we went to the finals in Vegas, we saw that there were people that would like climb up on the obstacles, like on the rafters above, like above the obstacles to like reset things. They're just dudes just hanging up there.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. There's just a guy just like just chilling, like laying above the snapback, and there's another dude just like sitting above the salmon ladder.
Oh, nice. Those are actually not employees. Those are super premium seats to the course that you have to pay money to get.
Yeah. It's you have to win an extra competition.
You have to win a double sweepstakes. Yeah.
So he gets through Swing Surfer, moving slowly over the wall. He also does like a one-handed transition, but he just does it faster than what the kid does. He does get the dismount from Grim Sweeper, but it's pretty rough. And this is when Akbar says, "We've got a hydration situation over here."
Yeah, good thing he's going to go into some water.
Yes, so he goes to the water walls. This is probably the most compelling portion of the night because it takes somebody with food poisoning to make this time limit compelling.
Yeah, and you know what they say, when the most compelling run is the third one, that's how you know you've got a good episode.
Yeah. He barely makes it with 1 second left on the clock, and I wrote, right, we are going to see an insane amount of stage three runs because this guy just completed the course. He was the third or the fourth person running, and he had food poisoning, and he just finished, so...
Yeah, he was looked close to death when they were showing his like last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Then we had Dave Kavanaugh, who has a safety pass as well, and he will need it because he immediately falls on Walk the Plank. Akbar says that escalated quickly.
Mm-hmm. But his wife's hair is so cute. It looks like cotton candy.
There you go. Michael Torres is up next, and he is the only person with a safety pass left, and he will not need to use it. His package talks about how he's learning to cook rice, do the salsa, and learn Spanish.
Yes, to connect with his culture.
Yes.
So that's nice.
Getting in touch with his roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's cute. I like him.
There you go. He's smooth through the course. Plenty of time left. A minute and 20 seconds left for the water walls. They keep saying, oh no, this is going to be close, because it was taking him a while, but he had a minute and 20 seconds to get through them. It was not even remotely close.
No, but they've got to hype it up somehow.
Yeah, he had like a full, I think, like 12 seconds left by the time he hit the buzzer. They were like, oh no, he's not going to finish. He's only got 12 seconds left to climb and hit a buzzer.
I will say Matt and Akbar did a good job of filling all this time, considering that they've probably gone through every pun they could make about all these people so far. There wasn't much exciting stuff going on, and they were robbed of a lot of the gimmick guys. They didn't have Eric Middleton to make them eat a bug. They didn't have Lance Pecus to put on a cowboy hat. They don't have any of their gimmick
guys.
They
found one bug guy.
Yeah, but the other bug guy didn't make them do anything.
Yeah, that's true. So Michael Torres, the only person with a safety pass who does not need to use it, is going to make stage three as well. Then we have Alex.
He should get to keep it for next year.
Yes, we have Alex Blick, who went out on the swing surfer. He might be one of the only people they montaged who failed, because they didn't have a lot of those to
Also don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
Please don't write us an iTunes review if that's like your dad.
Then we had Lucas Reale, who is going to be montaged. And they said that he completed the course, and it was an emotional moment that everyone was so proud. This was probably one of the early runs, and they were like, wow, he did it. He completed stage two. So emotional. And of course, so they montaged it.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very emotional, and we will just have to take their word for it.
Yeah. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Next up was Flip Rodriguez, probably the second most compelling run of the night.
Oh, definitely.
Because he was injured. So he talks about how he made a rookie mistake on stage one, and it cost him his quad, which is still hurting him. This is his sixth attempt at stage two, and I can tell that he looks super nervous right from the get-go here. He's taken extra swings on Walk the Plank. You can tell he is hurting when he does the dismount from there. This is a rough go of it here for Flip.
Yeah, and it's so sad at the end. He is so upset.
Yeah, Matt says that the snapback during this run, he says it's not something that you can practice. And I wonder if that's part of what they're going for with these obstacles, because a lot of their newer obstacles are things that you can't really practice. You can't really make a snapback super easily at home. You can't really make a grim sweeper at home that rotates on its own, right? Like, I wonder if they're trying to move away from easily, you know, replicated obstacles.
Maybe, or at least like constantly be doing ones that they know that the ninjas haven't practiced in a gym, anything like it.
Yeah.
I do like the snapback, I'll say.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like the blind grab obstacles.
Yeah. Well, Flip is really limping up to the swing surfer. I was a little concerned he wouldn't be able to make the jump, but he does. He only has a minute left, though, by the time he gets to the grim sweeper, because he's taken some extra time limping along. He gets through there, but he has to take a full rotation on each scythe to make sure that he's making it through. And he only has 30 seconds left at the water walls. And you can tell that he is not going to make it. He's going to time out at the final wall. And he's still going to go through it and hit the buzzer, but there's just no time left. And this was brutal to watch.
Yeah, this was very painful. Like, he's literally crying.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
And like, this was definitely his chance to get to stage two. Although unlike some of these other people that make it to stage three, that like, this is definitely the only year that they're going to get to stage three. No offense to anybody, not naming any names. I do feel like Flip, not injured, can get there at some point.
Yeah. I mean, he must have felt so good about it. You know, he was, before he went to Vegas, he had the safety pass. He was going to get two tries at stage two. And then turns out stage two is super easy. So it should have been even easier for him to do it. But unfortunately, he just hurt himself and he's going to miss the opportunity. And really, you know, stage three wouldn't have required too much from his legs. I think the body prop would have been the most difficult thing for him to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he's just going to time out there and not make it.
Next year, Flip.
Yeah.
Calling it.
Then we had Ben Wales, the only walk-on left running, and he is going to walk right off Walk the Plank. So that's another, there's another failure. Then we had Karsten Williams, who completed the course. And then we got to Adam Rail, and his package was about how he's a bit of a celebrity now, and he's doing commercials
in Arizona. Yeah, they don't explain anything about this car commercial. They just show him doing flips and are like, no, that's hard.
Yeah. They were trying to advertise the fact that he's doing commercials without advertising the thing he's doing the commercials for.
Yes. They were like, unless this car dealership pays us.
Mm. It was we saw here on the sidelines Sean Bryan in a sling cheering him on. And that was very sad.
Yes. However, I'm not glad that he's in a sling, but it would have been even more sad if they just like immediately popped it back in and he would have been fine.
Mm.
So the fact that he's still in a sling means that he wouldn't have been able to get back on the course.
Yeah. It looked like he hit his face, Adam, here on the plexiglass of the snapback, but he made it through. His mom was on the sidelines, just like squeezing the bicep of Jake Murray, trying to, I think, just like rip his arm off.
Yeah, probably. They were like, Jake Murray is getting a workout.
Yeah.
They're also still calling Adam one of the favorites to win it all.
Yes.
It was interesting.
Well, they've been doing that for years, to be fair, but,
yeah, but
I still think I think he's a contender here.
I guess so. I don't know. I just wouldn't call him a favorite.
I mean, he dominates in the National Ninja League.
Oh, the Ninja League, yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's it. I really think that this could be Adam Rail's year. I think he usually will go out on stage two, but this stage two was passable. Now he just, we've never seen him on the stage three. I imagine, you know, National Ninja competition, I would imagine a lot of those have a lot to do with these upper body obstacles. They're a lot easier to replicate. And so I think he will probably be able to do pretty well on them. And I imagine that he's practiced a rope. So I think he's definitely in there. We've seen both of his runs so far. So he's one of my top contenders.
I'm glad that he's acting because that is a step to modeling, which is really what he should be doing.
Well, Akbar says, Matt, it's like his muscles are magnified underwater.
Yeah. Great. You and Akbar talking about these glistening men.
He does a handstand on the buzzer, dripping wet. And I feel like this is mostly what I'm talking about when I mention the...
Yeah, this is going to be on the poster next year.
Yeah.
Jesse Graff is going to be Adam Rail in a handstand.
Akbar says, I'm on the Adam Rail train. Choo choo.
Oh, that makes sense. It should be the Adam Railroad. Choo choo.
Yeah. Then we get Chris DeGangi, who completes the course to a crying Jesse, who I imagine is also like, damn it, this could have been me too.
This would have been me too.
Yeah. Kevin Carbone is going to complete the course as well. They're both montaged though. And then Tyler Gillette is going to be montaged and complete the course, but we did get a good one here. Akbar says, Tyler's going to be sharp on the Grim Sweeper.
I guess you could say that about anybody,
but he's Tyler Gillette.
Oh, I thought it was because the scythes are sharp.
It works in many ways.
Oh my God, so many levels. Okay.
So they say that Tyler's the eighth to finish the course tonight. And they've already tied the record for most finishers on stage two.
And we're like 2 minutes into the episode.
Season seven. Yeah, we're like a fourth of the way into the, we're like halfway through the first hour at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then we get to Grant McCartney, who his package is basically a dating profile.
Yeah. Okay. Literally, he was like, I go on all these adventures, but I don't want to do it alone. And I thought it was going to like, he like met somebody. And my boyfriend was like, oh, great. Now we're going to see this guy's Tinder profile. And it literally was.
Yeah.
It was literally his dating profile and all of the ninjas like helping him out. And Akbar being like, ladies, this guy's a catch.
He's a great guy. I may seem like I'm really crazy and out there on the course, but I am also, you know, I'm a sensitive guy and I like to be serious sometimes and I like long walks on the beach and,
And they are correct that there's no such thing as too many ab pictures.
Well, there you go.
How many years out are we from Ninja in Paradise? Where these people all just date each other?
I think infinite years.
Aww. I would like that, a dating show about ninjas. Because so on Are You the One, which is a dating show, they do challenges to compete for dates. And I want to see ninjas do just like insane challenges to compete for dates.
I mean, you know, I mean, isn't that basically the challenge?
The challenge is not a dating show.
They date each other.
Yeah, they hook up. But I want this to be specifically Bachelor in Paradise, but with like huge physical feats involved.
Okay.
The problem is that like there's so few women compared to men, and a lot of them are already in relationships with other ninjas.
I mean, that's easily solvable.
Just like we put Alyssa and James to the test.
Look, putting them on the show. Will pay you a lot of money to be on the show. There's just one requirement.
One small caveat.
It would really just turn into like, I think the show is called The Bachelorettes, where there's a small group of women who are choosing from a very large pool of men who have to physically compete for their attention.
I like this. I'm in on this show.
So Grant McCartney is going to take on stage two. This is his moment. This is the time where he will be able to beat stage two. But for the third time on stage two, the third time he is going to go out on the salmon ladder again. I have to imagine that this is just it's in his head at this point, and he is really going to be beating himself up afterward.
Yeah, but maybe he'll get a girlfriend out of it, or a boyfriend. They never specified.
Yeah, so there you go. Then we got to Joe Moravsky, who finally was on the show and got a package. And his package was about how he's got a dad bod now.
I don't think he looks any different.
I want to know, was this his idea, or are the producers still really mad at him for some reason?
They were just like, okay, you're finally going to get a package. Talk about how you've gotten fat.
Yeah. he's had less time to train. He's been, you know, he eats the food that he gives his children, and he's now got a dad, but he's dad bod strong.
Yeah, is that going to be a hashtag?
Maybe.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's never been one of the guys that looks like super jacked and shredded. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he looks that different.
Yeah. I mean, he's always, you know, I think one of the biggest appeals of Joe Moravsky is that even though he is incredibly fit, he looks more along the lines of an average guy than like somebody who's like super jacked.
Yeah. Average Joe.
Yeah. Akbar says he said his best dad skills were his peanut butter jelly skills. So let's see him make peanut butter jelly tonight.
That doesn't make any sense. It's a pretty good dad skill, though. Peanut butter and jellies are really good. Peanut butters and jelly.
I think it's just peanut butter jelly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Peanuts, butter and jelly.
Well, that implies that you have a sandwich with butter, jelly and peanuts.
Well, that actually sounds pretty good. Is that gross?
Sounds all of those terrifying. Things sound
all of those things sound good together.
All right. So Joe is going to do very, very well on the course here. The only thing, he takes an extra swing on the first Grim Sweeper, but just does a quick transition on the next two and is going to have a dismount there right on his butt, falls flat on the dismount. But beyond that, he is going to head to the water walls and finish with the fastest time of the night so far, 48 seconds remaining.
Yeah. Sure. I don't know. Do we still think that he's got a shot at winning this thing?
I don't. I think that if you are montaged, unless there are multiple winners, which is very possible at this point, it's honestly hard to see how there are not multiple winners at this point.
Yeah. Although they haven't. I feel like if there were, then they would have brought up that they changed the rule that now multiple people can win.
Right. So the rule is that they each get $1 million?
I think so.
Okay. So, cause they have like the previews are like, I think the preview is saying one.
Okay.
But
I don't know.
It just seemed like they're going to be 21 people competing on stage three. And
yeah, how can they not?
If it's anything like stage two, then I have to imagine we're seeing multiple people on stage four. And if stage four is anything like it has been in all of the other seasons, then it's hard to imagine that there's just only one person.
Maybe stage three will still be incredibly. I mean, stage one was appropriately difficult. So we know that it's possible for them to do it, to find a balance.
It's possible.
Stage three will just be like incredibly hard.
But I mean, I think part of it, too, is that like, stage three is very difficult for the people that are capable of beating stage one and two.
Yeah.
But stage three can be pretty easy for people that really, really like rock climbers,
that
people
are
that are really,
yeah.
really good at the upper body stuff. The problem is that they have trouble getting there, but this was an easy course to get there. So I feel like we will see a lot more success on stage three.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I feel like personally, I think Joe is out of it. I think that I think we're left with, we'll talk about, you know, Drew, Daniel, the kid, Adam Rail. I think those are the only four left.
OK, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I would love to see it. I think that obviously if there are multiple winners, I think he's definitely in there, but probably wouldn't be the fastest. Probably wouldn't be the person they are like, this is our main winner. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. So Joe, very fast through the course, going to complete it. That's it. This is when they talk about how over the history of stage two, there have been 189 attempts, they say, and only 25 people have ever completed stage two with a completion rate of 13% overall. Mm-hmm. So far tonight, 9 out of the 17 people have completed the course. And this was like the most generous, or sort of opposite of generous. This is the most punishing statistic they could have gotten from the night, because overall, mm-hmm. the statistic, if we look at everything, it's a 75% completion rate.
Right.
75%.
Yeah.
The number of people in the history of the show, we're at season 11 in the history of the show, to complete the course nearly doubles in one season.
Yep. Yeah, that's very damning.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know, the ninjas are just getting so much better all of a sudden.
Yeah. They're it's ridiculous. I saw a post on Reddit that had some more statistics here where they said basically there are single obstacles with significantly in city qualifying and city finals courses that have a lower completion rate than the entirety of stage two.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, for instance,
probably Rolling Thunder,
Spinball Wizard.
Yeah.
Has a lower completion rate. The regular Wingnuts, not even the hard ones.
Yeah.
Have a lower completion rate.
I mean, Angry Birds has a 0%.
The Bouncing Spider has a lower completion rate.
So stage two is basically just shoot the Bouncing Spider, and that would be harder.
You can keep going. Slam Dunk, Walk the Plank, the regular one. The Spin Hopper, The Hinge, Crank It Up. And these are like some of the easier, like these are not more, some of the more difficult obstacles.
Right.
And then obviously just this season you have Angry Birds, you have, that other one that took out a bunch of people, the floating monkey bars probably.
Yeah.
It's like you shouldn't. There are 28 competitors on stage two. There are usually 30 competitors in a city finals course, and stage two had more than triple, I believe, any city final course completion. I think stage two had more finishers than all of the city finals courses this season combined.
Yeah. And we understand that like comparing the national finals to city finals is like they're obviously a higher level of talent. But what we're saying is that the stage should be proportional to the level of talent.
Right. But also like everybody that competed on stage two competed in those city finals courses, and the completion rate is still significantly higher on stage two than those city finals courses.
Listen, we're disappointed and we're also kind of surprised.
Yeah. So there you go. And it was, I was like, it's ridiculous that they're advertising, they're giving us these statistics. They're really like not doing themselves any favors, in my opinion here. So next up we had Tyler Smith, and this is the first time that I am hearing about this person.
Oh yeah. I don't know who this is.
He's the Ninja Bugman.
Yeah. But we already had a Ninja Bugman.
Yeah. really out of nowhere for this guy. He's this is, we're being introduced to him on episode 15 of the season, and he is a pest control technician, and he's been doing well in ninja competitions apparently.
Yeah. And did you see the tweet about this guy suggesting some shenanigans?
Oh, the timer?
Yeah. So the tweet is now unavailable. Joe Morovsky had retweeted it, and I'm guessing he deleted it because it does not look good for a ninja to point out potential shenanigans with the producers. But it appears, I watched the video and I went back to look at it, but now it's gone. It appeared that they added time. Like, he's on an obstacle and the timer goes up from 153 to 159.
Right. So, on the screen, as he approaches the Grim Sweeper, I believe the timer had run down to 153. And then as he gets off of the Grim Sweeper, or like as he's about to get off the Grim Sweeper, somewhere along there, the timer comes back on the screen and it's at 159.
And it's counting down. So yes. That doesn't make sense.
So, and it's been like 20 seconds at least since the timer came off the screen. That's not great. I imagine though that this is more an editing mistake than something that happened on the actual course. I believe they have, if I'm remembering correctly, they have the timer on the course.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily thinking that they actually like are cheating and having people have more time, especially for a no name like this guy. Still, it does not look good.
Yeah, it's like, if you had any illusion that the timer on your screen was 100% accurate all the time, that this can definitely, at the very least, tell you that they're capable of making mistakes, if not just outright just putting whatever is the most dramatic on your screen until the end, where they'll give you the accurate time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, yes, that was annoying for sure. They also they said that he can deadlift 425 pounds, but who knows if that's an exaggeration.
Yeah,
with all this timer shenanigans.
I truly have no idea how possible that is.
It's very possible.
All right. Well, I don't deadlift anything except food.
He gets to the wave runner and Akbar says, he's scurrying up that wall like a cockroach.
Does he really pronounce it like that? Nice. That's a fun flair.
I had to like spell it out specifically to make sure I remembered that he pronounced it that way.
Cockroach.
Then he gets to the water walls and Akbar's like, he's like a water bug in there. And I don't even like water bugs.
Well, then he must love cockroaches. Otherwise, he wouldn't have. Otherwise, he would have specified that he didn't.
Must have.
Why? What a weird bug to specifically dislike. Like, I'm good with spiders, good with centipedes, but water bugs, terrifying.
I mean, are you a fan of water bugs?
I'm not a fan of them, but I'm afraid of everything. I would say that's one of the bugs that I'm the least afraid of.
Wow.
You can just splash them away. You don't even have to touch them to get them away.
But you think you're safe in the water.
I don't think water bugs can hurt you.
And then you're not. There's bugs there.
I don't think anybody thinks they're safe in the water. Isn't there a whole movie where that's the tagline?
Well, you're not safe anyway. Thought it was safe.
Well, that's encouraging.
But you think you're safe from bugs in the water until you go, oh no, water bugs.
I guess so. I have never seen a water bug in like the open water. Like I was just in Lake Michigan yesterday and I didn't see one.
Yeah, well.
So that means they don't exist.
Well, he's going to finish with the fastest time of the night so far. Just a minute and just over a minute left. And Akbar says, this is the best group of ninjas we've ever had on stage two.
Sure. I mean, maybe, but we can't say that definitively.
Yeah, well, we have no idea.
Yeah.
Then we get another montage with Ethan Swanson taking him out of the running, in my opinion. RJ Roman is going to complete the course. Ethan Swanson also completed the course. And RJ Roman in his montage, this, like, I don't fault RJ Roman for this. I fault the time limit and stuff. But to see RJ Roman on stage two in the montage being starting a chant in the crowd. Shred that course. Shred that course.
Oh,
like,
God.
That was a good 5 seconds or so, at least, that he just spent just like starting a chant in the middle of stage two. That's for city qualifying, maybe city finals. Like, that's,
and according to us, for never.
Right. And like, that's that. I don't want to see that on stage two. I want to see people stressed out. That's mm-hmm. I'm here for like the intensity. The stage two is where they have effing fire.
Yeah, that scares crap out of me every time.
It's fire and it's intensity. It's not like having fun and starting chants.
Yeah, no chanting on stage two. Struggle face only.
But that's what happens when you've got 3 minutes to complete a course that could take you a minute and a half.
Yeah. Well, good for you, RJ Roman.
Yeah.
You're definitely not winning, but good for you.
Then we had Carson Voiles, who completed his course on his second try. Then Dave Kavanaugh is going to take on the course for the second time, but he is going to fail the transfer on the salmon ladder. He just misses the top rung, and then it bounces over the lip, and it falls to the bottom one, which is too much of a jolt and will loosen his grip and make him fall into the water. Bad luck for Dave Kavanaugh here. Two tries and is not able to get through.
Yeah, I hope they still pay for another night in Vegas, though, so that he gets to take an actual shower and not have to move his sink in his van.
That's true. I mean, he did get to go into the water twice, so.
Yeah, that counts as a shower. Yeah. Honestly, probably as effective as his van shower.
Next up was Josh Salinas, who theoretically could be in the running, right? He had a full course run on stage one, right?
I guess so. What was his package about?
His package was that he lost his wedding ring.
Oh, right. This is funny. This is cute.
Yes. So he was, they were doing flips and stuff after getting married, and he immediately lost his wedding ring.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of beach weddings, but if you are going to have a beach wedding, this is the way to do it. Make it fun for everybody.
There you go.
Put inflatable things in the water. Lose the wedding ring.
Yes. So he failed snapback in the city finals course, but he is not going to fail it in this one. He's going to finish the course with 1:03 left, which is the fastest time so far, beating Tyler Smith's 1:02 left. And let me tell you this, Tyler Smith did a little spider thing before he pressed the buzzer. He would have finished at 1:04 left, but it took him 2 seconds to do his little hand thing with the spider and then press the button. And so instead of being, the second fastest, he is the third fastest.
Yet another knock against spiders.
And wasting time.
Yeah, we know that I am famously against the spider community, and this is just another reason.
Yeah, it's true. So then we get another cue for the originals, the four original athletes. And the only two left are Lauren Ball and Ryan Stratus. First, they're going to montage Ryan Stratus.
So upset. I really thought that maybe he was going to be a dark horse to win.
Right? So that again, that takes another one out for me. He completes the course. He says he's going all the way, but he does so in a montage.
You don't know. Maybe they're trying to trick us.
Maybe. Then we got Lauren Ball, who's finally going to get a bit of a spotlight here. He says, I'm pretty big in the Philippines. The way he said that was hilarious. And then he goes on to talk about my grandfather, Popo Makadangdang, he does something in the Philippines.
Oh, I
just remembered his name. I listened to his name and I was like, I need to write this down.
They like own something that's been there forever.
Yeah. He's on the course and he's doing it for his Filipino fans.
Yeah, this is great. So much cultural representation on this episode. Yeah.
So he's going to take some extra swings on Walk the Plank. And then basically get through the salmon ladder and then on to the snapback, where they talk about how there's been only two falls on the snapback so far, which I believe will make it the deadliest obstacle of the course.
So sad.
That and the salmon ladder, I think, tie, I think.
Great.
And then he gets to the swing surfer. And right after Akbar says, he's a parkour guy, so this should be easy for him. He jumps onto the wall and his girlfriend has the exact same reaction I do when we watch him fall, which is just utter confusion.
What
are you doing? It looks like he's just climbing down into the water. He jumps on and he's just like, And he just goes to the lower rung, and then he's like, ah! And then he goes to the next lower rung, and then he just, it's like, ah! And he falls into the water.
Great Lauren Ball impression.
It was so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he just couldn't get a good grip.
I guess so. It's just so, I imagine what happened is that his foot was able to get purchase, but his hands weren't able to grab. And so he was like falling back off the wall. And so instead of falling backwards, he would take his feet and then drop down to the next level with his feet and then try to get purchase with his hands the next time, but failed again. And then it happened over and over until he went into the water.
Yeah. R.I.P. Makes me even sadder that they montaged Ryan Stratus. Mm.
Then we get to the kid part two, who
the kiddening.
Yes. He was only kidding the first time.
Is that the tagline for the movie?
Yeah. So he's going to take a much slower and more methodical approach on the course. Takes a few extra.
Because he can.
Yeah. Because he takes a few extra swings on the Grim Sweeper, and gets to the water walls, where Akbar starts to get nervous. He's too big. Uh-oh. Can't fit.
His hat is just sadly floating in the water.
His hat's gone. lots of struggling on the water walls, but ultimately he is going to hit the buzzer and just collapse.
Yeah, he looks tuckered. Mm. I mean, he is so skinny.
Yeah.
But sad to see him glistening without his hat.
What are you going to do?
Should have dove in and gotten it. Sorry, I tripped over that word.
Next up was Hunter Gerard, the lizard, who is going to complete the course. Seth Rogers, mm-hmm. Big Red, who is going to complete the course. And Casey Suhaki, guy with a grandpa, the first, who completes the course.
That should be his Chiron.
Yeah. 19 finishers so far, with two left.
Great.
Next up is Drew Dreschel, who is not going to get the top spot on the episode. That's going to go to Daniel Gill, which is making me
really nervous.
Suspicious of Daniel Gill here. I loved this package, though.
Of course you did, because Drew is the exact same kind of insane that you are. This is exactly what you would do if you were on American Ninja Warrior. Yeah. And I am all of the ninjas that went to his training and could not hang. Like, I would rather sleep. Thank you. So you hear a lot about athletes and artists of all kinds who are like, people called me crazy. And it's like, who are these people calling you crazy? Except this is one of those instances where I'm going to be one of the people calling him crazy. This is crazy.
Ninja Warrior is his life. And so
he flips his sleep schedule for two nights of for the entire year, just for two nights.
No, he says a couple of months ago.
Either way.
A couple of months prior to Vegas, he flips his sleep schedule so that he said he goes to bed at around 6 in the morning, wakes up around 6 at night, so that he is prepared for Vegas because it takes place overnight.
Yeah. Really good news for Drew. He could be a bartender after this and not have to change his schedule.
There you go. And he's also changed how he trains. He sets up a huge obstacle course and completes the entire thing at the same time. It takes him 15 to 20 minutes at a time. He goes all at once to, you know, train his, you know, endurance on obstacles and getting through them all. He has other ninjas come and train with him, but nobody else can keep up. I did see that Joe Morovsky did an AMA on the subreddit of ANW, and Joe said, hey now, Drew, I was only a little bit behind you.
Oh, great. So at first I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible because this is like, he won't be able to do this once he has a newborn, except this may be perfect. If he's up all night for the baby, he can take it to the gym and then his wife's awake during the day, or his girlfriend rather. Maybe this is the ideal way to parent.
Maybe. Yes. Joe said, I'm assuming production threw a few lines at him to say, but I'll be honest, I trained with him many late nights doing the 24 obstacles with him. He's no more than 45 seconds ahead by the time we both failed. He doesn't consider that on another level.
Yeah.
I love that's how competitive.
Fair. Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, if you go on TV and are like, nobody else could hang with me, and it's like, well, I kind of could. I can understand wanting to clear your name there.
Yeah. Drew also, by the way, Joe in the AMA talked about his stage one run, and he was obviously disappointed that they didn't show it. But in particular, because he said that he did something that nobody else did on stage one, which is he got through Spin Your Wheels in one motion the entire way through. And I wanted to see somebody do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone took like a billion swings on that third wheel. Mm-hmm. Drew does it in one move and they don't show it.
To Joe, don't trash talk production on Twitter.
I guess so. So Drew says he is stronger and smarter than he's ever been. He is prepared to win. I was with you. I was like, now I'm really nervous for him because he's got a baby on the way. This might be his last chance to take on this course with such a rigorous training schedule. Really, really hoping he's our guy here. But we'll see.
Yes, we will. But he's cautious, but not really any major issues on stage two here.
Yeah, you know, I am still noticing. I'm seeing him be a little more cautious than I normally see Drew on the course. He has a little more hesitation. He's a little less steady than I'm used to seeing him. I wonder how much of that is just like, how much of it maybe even just came from the safety pass itself. That kind of like threw him off his game initially, and then the fact that he fell, and now he's you know approaching this having had fallen. And I also have to imagine that for an athlete like Drew going late in the night after seeing so many people complete stage two, I think that puts way more pressure on somebody like Drew than otherwise, because when everybody else fails, I think that's where Drew succeeds, excels, because it's like, all right, well, nobody can do this, but I can. But when everybody can do it, it's like, well, now it looks terrible. Now I don't want to fall the super easy course. Like, this is my opportunity, right?
Exactly.
So I think it's actually more difficult, but no issues here. He spins around to build momentum on the snapback, which Matt and Akbar found to be strange, but it worked. Akbar said, he's got cargo pants on. You know you're cool when you can rock cargo pants with the utility belt.
Does he have a utility belt?
No.
You don't need the belts. The whole point of cargo pants is that you don't need a utility belt because you have all those pockets to store your utility.
So Drew then will jump into the water walls water like a fish.
Yeah, he's got a dolphin jump that they replay no less than 17 times.
Yeah. And Akbar, how is his bandana still on?
Yeah, I don't think that's the craziest thing. It's tied.
Yeah. He completes the course, which is going to make for the fourth time he's going to make stage three in 5 years, which if I'm not mistaken, it's also the fourth time Joe's made it to stage three in 5 years. But I guess they don't like Joe.
No, where it's Drew time. He's got jokes. OK, because he's a dolphin.
I'm pretty sure because Joe made it to stage three every single year he competed until last year, right?
I think so. Every year that I watched.
Yeah, pretty sure that's the case. So,
but is he nocturnal?
More Joe snubs.
Yeah.
We will see Drew on stage three. I'm hoping this is his year.
Yep, me too. But we've got one big obstacle, which is Daniel Gill being the anchor for the second episode.
Yes, and remember, Daniel Gill was the anchor for the first episode and got the fastest time of the night, despite the fact that he wasn't the fastest time
or the
of
second
the night
fastest
in Vegas that night, which means they manufactured Daniel being the first fastest time of the night to give him that anchor spot. And this is the second anchor spot of the four episodes that are going to be in Vegas. Drew has none of them yet.
Right.
So things are looking a bit Daniel-y, a bit Gilly.
Yep. Yes, a bit Gilly, like Drew's dolphin gills.
Yes.
Nope, dolphins don't have gills. Those are mammals. Fish is what I meant.
Well, Daniel Gill is going to get through the course pretty easily. He did have a little bit of a jolt there on the wall of the swing surfer. And ultimately, though, is going to have the fastest time of the night, the actual fastest time of the night, and be the 21st runner to finish stage two.
21st, lucky number 21.
Again, remember, up until season 11, in the first 10 seasons of American Ninja Warrior, there have been 25 finishers of stage two.
Yeah. Great. Maybe they'll learn to correct this next year. But that is our stage two.
Yes. And it does bring us into stage three with a lot more runners. I wanted to see more people run stage three. Not this many people, though.
Careful what you wish for.
I really hate that we are probably going to see stage three runs. In fact, almost definitely going to see stage three runs montaged.
Yes. Yeah, that's awful.
It's not how it's supposed to go.
No, that's a classic Akbarism. It's not how it's supposed to go.
That's a real Shanana.
A real shot. I don't think we got any this episode. Nobody shot
it. This is not a Shanana worthy episode.
No, not at all. All right. Do we need to go through all the finishers here?
You know what? Can we just say who didn't finish?
Yeah, go for it.
No, we'll go through the finishers. Daniel Gill was the fastest here. Josh Salinas, Tyler Smith, Ethan Swanson, Joe Morofsky, Karsten Williams, Tyler Gillette, Drew Dreschel, Kevin Carbone, Adam Rail, Hunter Gerard, Chris DeGangi, Casey Suhaki, Lucas Rialli, Ryan Stratus, Seth Rogers, Michael Torres, RJ Roman, The Kid, Awadi, Carson Voiles, and Nate Burkhalter.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. All right. Well, we have a very lovely iTunes review. This is from Press Nicole. It's called I See You, Taryn and Lita, 5 stars. She says, I've been a longtime listener of RJP. In the past year or so, I've started commenting and getting more involved with the community I love so much. And I always hear Taryn and Lita promote this podcast on other podcasts. So one day, out of boredom, I decided to start watching American Ninja Warrior just so I could listen to the podcast about it. And I'll never look back. Not to make this sappy, but it truly changed my life. I am in love with American Ninja Warrior and still in love with your podcasts. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah. Press Nicole. I assume your name is Nicole.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, that's lovely. Also, quick reminder, you don't even really have to watch the show to listen to this podcast. We prefer you do.
Yeah.
But I get comments from people once in a while that say, I don't even watch the show, but I listen to the podcast.
Well, there you go. I feel like the more angry we are with the show, the more necessary it is to watch the show.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's true. Qualifiers, we mostly Google things and talk about other things. But once you get to Vegas, it is helpful to watch. Mm.
But here we are. One episode left.
The big finale.
Yeah. I really hope it's not disappointing.
I feel like you could say that about most things in life.
Could you imagine, though, like, what if there are like 8 finishers?
There definitely aren't.
It's super possible.
What if we montage a finisher?
Like, it's that would just completely ruin the show, I think.
So, well, definitely tune in next week. It may be our last podcast ever. Taryn might rage quit this show.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Somehow you'll manage to blame it on the twists.
Yeah.
The safety pass. Stupid twists ruining the integrity of the show. All right.
It's the Grim Sweeper. We'll blame it all on that.
All on it. Yep. All right. Well, we'll see. Hopefully it won't be disappointing.
Yeah.
That's the tagline for our podcast.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Lita, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram @LitaGrammed. You can find me on Twitter @LitaTweeted and LitaWrote.blogspot. Nope. I do that every time. LitaWrote.wordpress.com for my writing.
There you go. We'll be back next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Hope you guys enjoy the finale, and I hope you guys enjoy the coverage for the finale. I hope I enjoy it. We'll see. Still exciting, but it would be a lot more exciting without the previews and without the Grim Sweeper.
We were watching Taryn's brain unravel before our eyes. We always thought it would be Big Brother that broke him, but it was American Ninja Warrior.
All right. Thanks, guys, so much. We'll see you next time.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
You want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because